Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum-sealed, and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality, all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box, and make this summer one to remember. Remember, with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
Border Patrol officers have been arriving throughout the day. We were here all of yesterday. They do what they can. They've told us that their facilities are at capacity, both Border Patrol stations and the processing centers. And that's why these migrants have to remain here waiting for the Border Patrol agents to finally come in.
So the wild thing about this is the audio that we just played for you. What was that, Kane? It was
MSNBC.
MSNBC. Thank you. So the audio that we just played for you is from MSNBC. And you heard they're sitting here talking about, it sounded like there's kind of a mess down there at the border, Kane.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. So they're sitting here talking about how crazy it is at the border. But, oh my gosh, don't you dare call it. Don't you dare say it. Don't you do it.
Crisis?
No, it's not a crisis. Don't you call it an open border either. It's not an open border. How dare thou? Welcome to the show. Because we're, wait, one day, no, wait.
It's Tuesday.
No, but we're how many days away?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Counting today, three?
Yeah. No. Because it's Thursday that all of this kicks off.
Yeah, end of Thursday.
Yeah. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour, this Tuesday. Although, it honestly feels like 5,000 Mondays in a row. Because, I mean, I don't know how often this has to be said with regards to what you see happening at the southern border. I just don't know how you can make you hear the reporting. I mean, you hear the reporting, you hear what they're saying. How in the world is it that, I mean, I'm just stunned. How do you say that it's not a crisis if the border's not open? I mean, for the love, how do you even do that? You see, how does that reconcile? But you know, You can't say that the border's open. You can't say any of these things, even though they're completely true. So we have, as we said, we have Title 42. We've got this. We have the debt ceiling fight continuing. There's a lot of stuff to hit. Here's the other thing that's aggravating me. So I saw this story about with regards to immigration. So you know how the Texas governor is sending out this let me pull the story up. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is sending out this special, I guess, you'd call it a contingent of National Guard to the border. And apparently they're going to deal with trying to deter people from crossing in certain parts of the border to try to deflect and run them back, because they can't make arrests, apparently. So they have to kind of like create some kind of deterrent. And so they also, Texas lawmakers are looking at this legislation simultaneously that would make entering Texas without legal authorization a state level felony. So they're also looking at this. So, which it should be in the first place. So Title 42 ending. So they have the Texas Tactical Border Force. It's the National Guard. They're loading Black Hawk helicopters, C-130s, and they're sending out, they said, specially trained soldiers for the Texas Tactical Border Force, and they're going to go to different hotspots, according to the press release, different hotspots to help repel, intercept, and repel large groups of migrants trying to enter Texas illegally. And the border czar, Mike Banks, was one of the officials who joined in. He was in Austin with Abbott during the announcement. And they had everybody from Texas DPS, you know, everybody. And they said it was this multi-phased response. They're trying to prepare as best as how they can. And so they're sending them to repel. Because remember, I mean, Abbott could. Sure, Abbott can go, you know what, get down there and arrest these people. Yeah, they can totally do that. And then guess what happens? Exactly what happened with Gene Brewer. People forget that. I mean, Abbott deserves criticism on certain things. And certain things, there's a little bit of nuance. I'm just saying there's some perspective there. I mean, he can do it. And then what's going to happen is that the DOJ is going to go after him. Merrick Garland has already said, I mean, this echoes so badly. What is this? Like, I mean, all those border state governors down there, led by Gene Brewer at the time, she went to war with the DOJ and they threatened her six ways to Sunday. They were like, you cannot arrest, you can't detain, you can't do any of this stuff. So that's what will end up happening. And they'll get involved in all of this. So it's that's I know. Here's what frustrates me, because I was having this conversation with a friend of mine who is an uber conservative Hispanic who lives in a border area in Arizona. Uber conservative Hispanic, first generation. And they are like pulling their hair out. My friend was saying, and my friend works in the medical field in a hospital, so I'm not saying anybody's name or even telling you what the sex is. But they were saying how frustrating it is because their hospital was one that, you know, they would have, it wasn't a total hotspot area, but they get overflow from hotspot areas, like people who come in, etc. And they were saying that it's so frustrating because here, what I was just telling you, if Abbott does this, then the DOJ is going to come in and say, no, you have to go by this law and we're going to make it really difficult for you. Wait a minute. Why is it then that we have to follow the law and you don't? We're just picking and choosing what laws we're going to follow? Wait. Hold up. So you can do whatever the hell you want at the border. You can come in. You can bring them any drug, whatever. But if we try to stop it, then you're going to, oh, well, you didn't follow the protocol. This is where I turn into the Joker. I'm not joking you, dude. This is where I straight the ever-loving hell up, turn right into the Joker, and I want to watch it burn. That's where I am right now. See, this is why today's one of those days where I'm like, should I be on air? Should I be behind the mic? I don't know. Right? How does that work? Then what other laws can I not follow? Can I sail through all the stop signs flying the bird? Can I? Can I just be like, red lights are for all you, not me?
I've seen people do it, so I think you can.
I mean, if we're, can I just make myself like an imaginary protected class? And just be like, no, you're infringing upon my right to not stop at a border sign or a stop sign. Same difference.
But you're right. It's like the rules of engagement. It's not fair to those who are in the game, who are actually playing the game. The rules of engagement out in the battlefield, you have to go through 7 levels of command before you're given the green light to make a move on the battlefield. And it's kind of like this. If you're down at the border, you get in trouble for doing your job.
Yeah. If you do it the right, I want to enforce the law. You got to enforce the law our way or it's illegal. Meanwhile, all this illegal, if you try to stop our illegal activities, then we're gonna come after you. This is what infuriates me. This is where it is. This is what infuriates me. So we're gonna talk a little bit because this is where it gets worse. So you have the Texas, you have this special group, the Texas National Guard, with this tactical border group. Texas Tactical Border Force. Now get this. Border Patrol Union has lit into DHS. Because they've been telling. Now, again, let me just recap. Abbott's sending down that Texas Tactical Border Force and they're trying to rappel along these hotspots, et cetera, et cetera. So now you got DHS who is telling migrants and smugglers where all the targeted enforcement's going to be. So they can avoid it. I need knuckles to bite. Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
They published it.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And they're sending it down there. They're warning everybody. Yeah. Bill Malugin has been doing amazing on this. I don't know how he can keep a straight face on TV, by the way. Really don't. Really do not. He said they sent it out DHS sent it out. They're saying they're going to conduct enforcement operations in these areas. Hey, guys, don't go to these areas right here. They sent it out to everybody. Border Patrol is livid. Understandably. The National Border Patrol Union tweeted, quote, nothing like publicly announcing that dangerous people are going to be arrested while warning them ahead of time exactly where to run and hide to avoid arrest. They said this entire operation is a sad joke, another pandering PR stunt. Serious law enforcement leaders don't behave this way. So, wow. Wow. So there it is. We try, and then the government, every which way it can, wants to get in there and stop it. Just the way it is. So that's what we're dealing with right now. We're going to come back to that because I have a whole bunch more. We have the situation with E-Verify. So there's some people out there pushing E-Verify. I got a bone to pick with some of the people on the right. Can you remove head from ass and then learn about things before you start running and pushing it? I know people are so eager to be first and look like they're like culture warriors. And while being culturally tone deaf, Joker. I am the Joker. I'm Heath Ledger's Joker, by the way. I'm so done with it. And I see people out there, oh, we need this E-Verify bill. There's E-Verify and then there's this E-Verify bill. So here's the problem with it. As Thomas Massey's warning, we're going to talk more about this. It contains some pretty, I read his excerpt and then I went and read the bill, most of the bill, because it's kind of long. The E-Verify bill, as Massey was warning everyone, contains pretty vague references to a couple of pilot programs that use non-photographic technology, and you've got to prove your identity to DHS in order to get a job. Okay, but what do you mean non-photographic technology? Like, are you talking about DNA? Are we talking about fingerprinting? I mean, what are we talking about? You know, why do they not explicitly say this in the bill? Because here's the problem. You do not want a Patriot Act 2.0 like he's warning about. Remember, the Patriot Act was used to spy on parents who spoke up at school board meetings. They're always going to push something incredibly nefarious and cloak it into something that looks like it's a good idea, right? But buried in this is a pretty vague and pretty dangerous because of its vagary item. So we're going to talk about this a little bit because, I mean, if this is biometric, you know, whatever, if this, you know, whatever it is, how in the world is this not explicitly discussed in the bill? So we're going to talk about this because, yeah, I mean, E-Verify, you also have big business that's supporting this, right? I mean, this is a mess. Now, the debt ceiling, 43 Republican senators are uniting to push raising the debt ceiling, but only if there are substantial spending cuts. And there have been back and forth arguments over those spending cuts. You have some Republicans who honestly believe that removing tax credits for things like solar and, you know, big corn, that's a tax increase. No. That's not how this works. Again, we've talked about this. It's like saying a tax cut costs government money. Quit helping them with quasi subsidies, because the EV market would not be able to function if it wasn't propped up by Uncle Sam. So you have a number of Republican senators uniting on this, but they want some big cuts and they're fighting with each other about what kind of cuts. Some of them want some significant ones, which I don't even think we should be having this conversation when everything is happening south of the border, right? When you have the border that's open. Now, in the meantime, Biden, the administration, is pushing more infrastructure, except it's in Saudi Arabia, not here. Okay, yeah. And they're gearing up to target your dishwasher, which we're going to talk about. So we've got this on the way. Anthropology goes woke. Look, I don't want to see no dude in a dress, because how am I going to sit here and imagine how that dress fits on me when it's fitting on a big, giant, tall dude, right? Can we have this conversation? I'm just fed up. I'm the Joker today. I really feel like that. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
Are you at risk of losing your job to AI? Although some jobs will be eliminated, more jobs could be created. As the fears of artificial intelligence grow, will creative destruction work in this decade? What should you do to prepare? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Global Partners, this is WHO's thing. They said they're going to, and they had Chelsea Clinton out there pushing it. It's called the big catch up. They're going to vaccinate. They want to vaccinate all these kids and restore immunization. And I just have all the middle fingers for you. I don't want to read the story. If this story was a piece of paper, I'd wad it up into a ball, throw it in the sky and shoot it. That's what I would do. Moving on. Well, the White House banned the New York Post from a Biden event as the Hunter Biden indictment looms because the New York Post covered it. Where's all the people who are screeching about the free press? Where are all of these human equivalent of guinea hens out there? Talking about the free press. Oh, the sacred free press. Where are you at for the New York Post? Oh, because the New York Post wrote a story about your pockmarked crack addict, 50-something-year-old male whore, Hunter Biden. Really? The white trash that is the president's son? Yeah, it's his baby Hunter. No, you know what? You'd be glad that I'm just this mean right now, because I could be a heck of a lot meaner. This is ridiculous. We have to suffer through this idiocy. For what? Because one family thirsts for power. I'm done with it. I mean, where's Smod? So the New York Post, by the way, did really great reporting. A Florida Democrat has asked, Florida Democrat has asked Comer and Jordan for field hearings in Parkland on red flag laws. Jared Moskowitz asked Friday that a congressional field hearing focused on red flag laws be held in Parkland, where red flag laws actually would not have at all prevented the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas at all whatsoever in the slightest. And I have a portion of a book about that if you'd like to read it. They said that they want to have the House oversight hold this field hearing. If you want to have a discussion about the success of red flag laws, make sure that you include the gentleman who was shot and killed when they tried to serve one in Maryland. Disney thinks that they're trying to outmaneuver Governor Ron DeSantis. They're expanding their lawsuit after they had a bill that voided land deals passed by the legislature. Disney's losing this. They can do whatever they want, but they're losing. Stick with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Every single time in the history of our country where we've seen a product that is unsafe, whether it's baby cribs, whether it's cars, right, whether it's other kinds of consumer products, we take those products off the market. We should be doing the same thing with these weapons of war that have no business being in the hands of civilians.
She turned into a robot. She is the human equivalent of a bad acid trip. I've never had acid, but I'm just assuming that's what it's like dealing with her, right? She's meth that's sentient. Welcome to the show. Back to it. Dana Lash. Mean as all get out today. Welcome, and sit by me and let's hate everything together. So you can listen across the country. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show, and you can watch that YouTube, Facebook. You can also watch it on Channel 347, DirecTV, all kinds of good stuff. First off, what in the world? These are not weapons of war. I don't know how many times I got to say this. That was the outgoing disgraced mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Man, I'm minding my P's and Q's right now, whatever those are. Big breath. She's saying it's an unsafe concern. Well, you're not supposed to pick your teeth with the barrel. I mean, how are you using it? Right?
It's defective.
Yeah. It's not a douche. It's not, a toothpick. It's not. I said that. Go ahead and die. It's all right. We're all there. I mean, where do these people, this is what they're trying. It's an unsafe product. You know what else is unsafe? Bleach. That's like going out and drinking bleach. so shocked that I got poisoned almost to death and was in the hospital. You've got to take this product off the shelf. Don't drink it. It's like eating nails and then being shocked that you have to go to the hospital. I mean, somebody should really, you can't have these unsafe products on the shelf. So anybody can come up and eat these nails. Don't eat them. It's super simple.
For your safety.
Right? For your safety. Oh my gosh. It's like John C. Reilly. For your health. Just, no. I mean, there's all kinds of products like that, you know? I mean, a drill, you know? Like just a regular drill. I mean, you could really hurt somebody with that thing.
I mean,
yes, Kane.
You know how
this
all started?
How did it start?
It's when we put like warning labels on toasters.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
I think that gave them the idea they could pursue that route.
Yes. Yeah. It had the opposite effect. Now people just don't even care. We've coddled them to the point. As soon as they put hot coffee on the McDonald's cups, that's when we knew.
Well, that's because some broad sued.
Yeah, we're just catering to the stupid.
Yeah, they had some broad that sued because didn't she spill all her... I'm surprised. Sorry that we have lived as long as the human race. I'm really surprised. I mean, I'm going to use my hand lotion. She gets her coffee. Ooh! The car.
The damn lid.
It's hot coffee, you dumb woman. What did you think it was? That's what started all of this. I want a hot coffee, and make sure you have the warning label that the product that I just ordered is in the cup. Hot coffee could scald your face off. I mean, at some point, the stupidity baton passes to you. It's not the person who created the product. But that's what Lori Lightfoot is arguing here. You know, we got to take this product off the market. Why? Because some criminals go out there. Hey, guess what? Guess who's still going to get guns? Those same people. That's why they're called criminals. That's why they're called that, Lori. Golly.
But the laws, though.
Yeah, but they have laws. You know, I mean, the laws say the criminals aren't supposed to do it. I don't know about you, but I find it super effective when I'm about to get robbed, when I tell the robber, you do not have my consent. This is a no robbing zone. Then they're like, okay. They walk away. Happens all the time. Just, yeah. I mean, this is science, right? So, oh man, I can't with these people. I cannot with these people. And they wonder why everybody's leaving, right? Okay, so this goes on the heels of, this dude. I was tweeting about him earlier. Justin Holland. He's probably listening to the radio program. I can't wait for Dana to mention my name. Justin Holland, who I didn't know of him until now. Now I know all about him. He is a Texas state representative. And he uses a golf emoji in his Twitter bio. I don't like any emojis. That's one strike against you. No, but he put this letter out. He is really virtue signaling. And he can try to act like he's not virtue signaling, but dude, he's virtue signaling. So he tries to sit here and say, well, you know, I'm great on guns. I've got guns. I love guns. You know, I passed a measure that made Texas a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Great. You passed a measure that absolutely has no legal bearing. Good job. And then he goes in, well, I don't believe in gun control. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what? Whenever they start out with it, whenever they start a sentence with, I don't believe in gun control, comma, you know, something's coming. There's a big but in there, and it's usually the person making the statement. He wants to raise the age of purchase for a firearm from 18 to 21. Now, here's where he gets into. He writes, when I voted for a bill in committee to raise the age requirement from 18 to 21 to purchase semi-automatic rifles with detachable magazines whose caliber is greater than a 22, I did so in full knowledge that some people would try to mischaracterize my vote and the motivations for casting it. Oh my gosh, you mean you would be upset that someone's trying to mischaracterize your mischaracterization of 18 to 22-year-olds? I am shocked. I do declare. He says that he's not naive enough to think that the laws alone are going to prevent the violence that occurs frequently. Frequently, really? But he's going to go ahead and pass it anyway, right? He's going to go ahead and pass it out of committee anyway. And then he goes, well, I don't want a ban on them yet. I don't want to ban on them. I just, you know, want to ban people from having them. So it's not banning the guns. I'm banning the people. See, there's a difference. So I responded to him. I said, by penalizing the innocent for the actions of the criminals, you are disarming and making vulnerable an entire section of young adults, many of whom live on their own. Furthermore, and I have all the receipts on this if you like them, data from three different states, including Texas, shows that permit holders ages 18 to 22 are actually more law-abiding than permit holders who are older. Sorry, older folks. And what's more, and I have this as well, Thomas Marvell had a study that was published in the Journal of Economics, and it determined, ladies and gentlemen, that age restrictions have the exact opposite effect of what the politicians intend. Huh. In fact, the Marvell survey showed that there was, it's actually, they saw a 5% increase in crime. And that was, and he admitted that he thinks at that point it would require another study, but it thinks he make it may, it's because it makes more 18 to 22 year olds vulnerable, the age restriction. So I had asked Justin Holland, and we did reach out, as we are, as we usually do. We always reach out to lawmakers, and we did extend to him a most gracious invitation. Did we not, Kane?
Mm-hmm.
We extended to him a very, very gracious invitation to join us on our illustrious broadcast and speak about this issue, because I had asked him, what right do you have to demand that those old enough to serve overseas aren't good enough to carry it home? And when I get an answer from Representative Justin Holland, I'll be sure to let you know. But one of the things you can be certain of is that I'm not going to let this issue go. So he can answer it in one way or the other. I mean, it's, you know, we can make it easier. We can make it real easy. So this, I just find it, and there were only two Republicans. I'm going to pull this up. There were only two Republicans that actually went along with this bill. That it was a bill raising the age to buy semi-automatic rifles in the Republic of Texas. And it's, I mean, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but there were two Republicans, and Holland being one of them, that signed on. Now, the issue here at hand is, I mean, when you look at the age restriction, and I've written about this quite frequently, even though it gets a lot of attention, you do realize that the vast majority of what we would consider mass casualty incidents, they're actually by people that are older than 22. And then the worst one at Virginia Tech was by someone who was in their late 20s. So it's actually far fewer, far rarer an occurrence at that age, any occurrence, because I have to say this for the people who have, sadly, they don't have two brain cells to rub together. It's sad that it happens at all, that evil exists, but evil exists. I'm not going to ignore that. But it is far rarer an occurrence than these actions that happen from individuals who are older. But, you know, these individuals, people like Justin Holland and others, these people are far too eager. They are more than happy. They would be more than happy to these sorts of lawmakers, and being in Texas state, I mean, he obviously wouldn't have the power congressionally, but his congressional counterparts, you know, they're all too eager to sign things like, you know, authorization of, any kind of declaration of war, etc., to send our 18 to 22 year olds overseas to fight while denying them the opportunity to exercise their rights at home. If they want to modify the Second Amendment, you can go ahead and have that fight, but be honest about what you're doing. This is just them trying to look like they're doing something because they want to appear popular. And they think that running to the left is the way to do it. So, Justin Holland, you can feel free to send him comments. Civil, polite comment, because we are civil, polite people. We are not Antifa. But he's wrong on this, and we did extend to him the invitation to come on the show and discuss it. And I'll let you know, because we'll send it repeatedly, publicly and privately, because that's how we do. So he'll come on one way or the other. So we'll talk to him, because I think that you all deserve answers. We have a significant number of affiliates in Texas in addition to around the country. You need to know when these Republicans are looking to trade your rights for some popularity for themselves, do you not? And so this, we also have this issue. We had time for this Claire McCaskill audio. Or do I want to save it? Do I want to save it or do I want to save it? Steve says save it. Okay, so coming up, we'll have to do this in our next hour. Claire McCaskill suddenly wants to talk about Jesus, but only as it relates to firearms and not babies. Now, being that they didn't have firearms in Jesus' day, although his day still technically is now, he did have swords.
And they had babies.
Yeah, and they had babies. Interesting. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. But I digress. Did she find the part about what the Bible says about unborn life yet? I'm just wondering. Oof. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
You talk to most sheriffs, especially cops in big cities. You talk to most people in the military. They don't want Americans, especially without training, to be running around with AR-15s. Those are weapons that were designed for war. In case somebody's tuning in for the first time specifically, you know, read a 1981 Atlantic article by James Fallows. It was designed to be lighter, smaller caliber, easier to run through the jungles of Vietnam, easier to kill more Vietnamese than the heavy weapons.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That 50 cal, too heavy.
Joe Scarborough, he's the type of guy who he's in like a really lushly landscaped resort and he's all, is this the jungle? I don't know. That's Joe Scarborough over at MSNBC. He says AR-15s were designed to run easier through the jungle and kill more Vietnamese. What did I tell y'all yesterday? What did I tell y'all yesterday? They have never been. The AR-15 has never been standard issue for military. It was created for civilians. And some people, there was one guy who emailed and he didn't understand the difference between platforms, apparently. And the military liked the platform, and they wanted a, you know, select fire full auto version. And so they created, using that platform, they constructed a different, you know, like select fire capability rifle. So just because it's, oh my gosh. The civilian AR-15 was never standard issue for any branch of the military. Ever. Ever. Never, ever. Never, ever. Never. Never. Like, where do people... This sounds like a smart thing to say. Where do people get this stuff? Okay. I could spend forever on this. Really quickly, my favorite show, Days of the United States. Let's check in.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The Biden administration is insisting that President Biden will only sign a clean debt ceiling bill without any spending cuts. I mean, frankly, sir, you don't have the numbers. The House is controlled by Republicans, and now you have 43 Senate Republicans siding with them. That's enough to filibuster any clean bill in the Senate. So what's plan B here?
Well, there is no plan B. Our plan is for Congress to act to address the debt limit.
That is the economic advisor to President Joe Biden.
Oh, we don't have a plan B.
Oh, my God.
They don't have one.
It doesn't appear he has a plan A.
Yeah, I don't think they have a plan A either. They don't even have an plan. They have nothing. Nothing. Golly. frankly, sir, you don't have the numbers. So what's that? Well, you know, we're just going to keep spending some money. And we need to tell, we control the banks to tell banks to print some. I mean, I would actually expect that dude to say that. And I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. That came out of his mouth. Okay, I get it. All right, so coming up in our second hour, Claire McCaskill tries to be holy. Oh, we've got that for you. The soundbite is crazy. We also have all of the latest with the countdown for the sunset of Title 42. And the warning coming from Thomas Massie on E-Verify, the bill that some even conservatives are pushing, but they apparently missed the little sketchy vague part that talks about identity and biometrics and some really concerning things. We're going to explore that and a lot more, including Anthropology, the grandma store, goes woke. Stay with us. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
There's a lot of things we disagree on. Gun safety legislation isn't one of them, Claire.
You know, it's interesting. One of my grandchildren had his first communion over the weekend, and I listened to the homily at that service, and I was reminded about what a peaceful man Jesus was.
And he looked at the temple.
I listened to that elected representative, and they always want to say, oh, well, let's not make it political after there's a slaughter of innocents. But this is in its essence political. And I will tell you this. I believe very firmly that Jesus would be shocked at what our country is allowing to happen. There is no way he would embrace
abortion?
Everyone walking around with weapons of war.
They're not. So, I mean, good news for you. They're not. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream it. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Yeah, so a couple things. So that was former Senator Claire McCaskill, who was beaten by Josh Hawley into a hole in the ground and lost her seat. And so now she's relegated to being a contributor on MSNBC. Wah, wah. So the former senator, she is saying that, well, I think Jesus wouldn't be shocked that people are walking around with weapons of war. Guess what? They had weapons of war back in Jesus' day. You know that, right? Yeah. And guess what? People walked around with them. Does she not know that? I mean, he said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. I mean, yes, Jesus loved peace, but he also got mad. And, you know, like, for instance, when he whipped the people in the temple, the money changers flipped tables and the whole nine yards. Huh. Isn't that what she's kind of doing here? I'm just wondering, because this is a person who believes in taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. What would Jesus say about life? I mean, I'm very happy that she's now finally, you know, kind of at least referencing faith and the good book, because heaven knows she didn't when she was in elected office with policy. But go a little deeper. I encourage you. Good heavens. But it's a way that they try to emotionally blackmail you. You need to be left defenseless, because look, this is the party. You can't sit here and tell everybody you're going to defund police and also now give up all your guns. This is not going to work. Come on. This is not going to work. It just, and this is, of course, all in response to everything that we saw in the mall casualty, the mall casualties, and we're still getting information on that. Still don't know anything about the, we don't have the manifesto from the trans terrorist in Nashville. The left is trying to, and this is weird. I'm sorry, but some of the information I'm seeing about this dude is sketchy. You know, the Hispanic white supremacist who didn't have any social media accounts, but like apparently liked some like certain specific ones. I mean, it was just weird. Some of it's super sketch. I'm not saying anything other than it's just sketchy. It just seems sketchy to me, right? Oh, don't sit here and be like, are you saying that you can't trust your law, like the government sources? Yeah. Uh-huh, I am. Yeah, good job. You figured that out. It's excellent. I've been saying it for a while. So, you know, just FYI. Now, a few things here. Did you guys see the, I meant to get to this earlier. Did you guys see the, it was the presser that Biden had yesterday with Secretary Mayor Poot? Did y'all see him? I'm just curious because he was talking about airlines, right? And how they want to make the airlines like refund you. And they want like for delayed flights, canceled flights. They want people to, it's actually more than just refunding. Let me correct my phrasing. It goes beyond simply refunding people. Way beyond, in fact. It is, it's going to actually, I think, make flights more expensive because it's more than just, like I said, it's more than just about refunding travelers. They said that they want a historic new rule. So airlines would have to compensate people for the costs incurred as a consequence of cancellations or delays for which the airline is responsible. They said that your time matters, except when it comes to doing taxes. The impact on your life matters, except when it comes to defunding police or your Second Amendment rights. They didn't say that last part in there, but that was assumed. So they want to borrow from what Canada and the EU are doing, where you can already have this, apparently. And it's going to make it more expensive. I mean, I don't know. Why are they getting involved in this? And notice that how he had to get involved in it as well. It wasn't something that like Secretary Mayor Poot could do by himself, apparently. And he also was tweeting about the supply chain, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. But the airlines thing, I mean, this is a little much. And I think that part of the reason why we've seen what we've seen is because of the federal regulation. Honestly. I mean, just what, a few years ago, they had lower prices and then COVID made everything nuttier. And it's, let's be real, a lot of this is nutty because of coronavirus. Because you had a lot of pilots who were kept out of the air. They weren't able to fly. You have to have X amount of hours in order to keep flying regularly. I mean, back in like, what, 08, 09? It was actually a lot lower than it is. I mean, obviously right now, even adjusting for inflation, but it was for more reasons than just that. Now it's been kind of all ruined. I don't know. I mean, I think that airlines gouge you, but I also think that in some respects, the way that it's all regulated allows it. But I do think that this is going to make it so much more expensive for people flying. I just can't believe this is his focus. I mean, hell, you've got all this stuff at the border and this is what he's focusing on. Is this going to make any difference to you, Kane? The airline refunding thing? Is it going to make any difference to you?
No, I mean, they already do it to a large degree.
Yeah.
Right now. Like anybody who's ever flown and had to, you know, or at least took the option of not getting on your flight so someone else could and you got your compensation for, you know how this works. I don't know why the government's getting involved in this part right now.
I love how he goes, I'm making it mandatory for, I really wanted to play this audio because some of these words, you can't tell what they are here. I'm going to drop this in. I need to drop this in Slack because some of these, you can't actually tell what he's saying. But he says that he's going to make it mandatory to have compensation for delayed or canceled flights. It includes free meals, hotels, taxis, cash miles, travel vouchers. That's all on top. This is a direct quote. All on top of the cost of refunding your ticket. What? That's, whoa. You know, in the last year alone, it's been like a 20% increase in travel and flight costs. Yeah. And when, guess what happens when you put more costs onto airlines? Yeah. They're going to go up. Mm-hmm. Now, who pays for it? I mean, who pays for it? Is this really what people are looking for? I don't know. Play this audio. This is wild. Where he was like incomprehensible.
Secretary Buttigieg, thank you all for being here. Please.
Wait, no. We got to hear. I'm sorry. Go all the way to the back. Sorry, we're doing this live. All the way to the back. There you go.
Secretary Buttigieg, thank you all for being here. Please sit down. As we approach Memorial Day this weekend, and Memorial Day weekend, I'm rushing it, and a busy summer travel season, I'm here to talk about steps my administration is taking to make air travel better for all Americans. The airline industry is a key part of our economy. Mm-hmm. And they've been critical partners in a number of important initiatives, from requiring employees to get COVID vaccines and addressing the supply chain problems over the last couple of years. But I know how frustrated many of you are.
I'm not wearing tinfoil, but here's what I'm suggesting. This is going to make it more expensive, which in turn is going to mean fewer people are flying. That's not going to affect them because they get on their private planes and they can go wherever they want to go. But for you unwashed masses, you're not going to be flying as much. Huh. Don't you think that's by design, as they're all pushing their green new cult?
For the environment.
For the planet. Yeah. Interesting. There's no such thing as coincidence in politics. There's no such thing as coincidence. That's what I think anyway. Is that too conspiracy theorist, Kane? Because I feel like it's right on the money.
Yeah. I'd say it's almost not enough. But yeah, no, I think so.
Mm.
Definitely agree with that.
Yeah. It's what it seems like. Because they're still going to fly. I mean, it doesn't matter how much more expensive it gets for you. They're still going to fly. It's going to be too expensive for, average everyday people. So it just seems like, I don't know, kind of they want to have it both ways here. But what in the hell?
Buzzes. As we approach Memorial Day weekend.
How dare you make fun of his stutter? Well, it sounds like he's drunk, not a stutter. There's a difference. So another retail casualty in San Francisco. T-Mobile closes its flagship store. No one wants to do business in the capital of needles and feces. Their two-story flagship location in San Francisco's Union Square neighborhood was permanently shuttered, with a note directing everyone to visit two other locations in the city. The building broke price records when it was sold in 2013 at $50 million, and now they're out. They said they're reshaping their nationwide retail strategy to take better care of their customers. So that probably means they're reshaping their retail strategy so that our customers don't have to get attacked by homeless people and maybe accidentally stuck with some discarded drug needles or a step in human poop. We'd like for them to have an easy entry to our store. There it is. Everybody's leaving San Francisco. I've been to San Francisco twice. And the last time that I went, it was over 10 years ago. And when I was on the plane, it was in the fall. When I was on the plane, all the dudes were in black pea coats and black rimmed, like the circle glasses. And I bet half of them didn't even need them. Like, I actually use mine because I'm slightly farsighted. So I actually have to require mine, especially when I'm on radio and constantly looking up and down and all that stuff. But get there, and I have not disliked this anymore. I'm sorry. I mean, the city, the weather, the leftists, there were some nice people there that I'm pretty sure were conservative. But I mean, it's a beautiful city, but it's ruined by progressivism. And it's humid and wet and sticky and cold. Those are the things that all should not happen at the same time. So I don't know. They're not going to have any businesses left at this point. Between the smash and grab, haven't they basically legalized that now? Yeah, between the smash and grab and everything else, I mean, they're losing everything. We got to move. We got more to come. We have headlines on the way. Also coming up, we're going to talk to the Missouri Attorney General about Kim Gardner's departure. Huh. Kim Gardner, the prosecutor in my hometown. Well, we talked about how she was leaving. And what's next?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Oklahoma governor, Kevin Stitt, has defended his decision to close the state's PBS station OETA over indoctrination and over-sexualization of kids, including reading the kids a book about drag queen hips.
Why?
Why is like, hey, I want to talk to your kids about how people do it. Why is that the hill that the left wants to die on? I don't get it. He also criticized the NewsHour feature as well. So that means the network is going to cease operations this year unless the legislature overrides it. You know what? That's taxpayer dollars. If the person who represents taxpayers wants to, and taxpayers are supportive of this, which I think they are, then what do they get to say? This isn't their money. Like, nobody has a right to, you know, we have a right to put out public programming. Well, you know, not if you're doing this stuff. I mean, if the voters speak about it, you know. Also, this is from Politico. A disaster the size of multiple Katrinas is building off of Washington coast. The Coast Guard's the first line of defense against a massive tsunami. People are wondering if it'll be an early victim. This is kind of a crazy thing. It's the north shore of Washington's Olympic Peninsula. They said that they've been dealing with all, you know, different types of rescues. It gets into the rescues that they get into, but also all of the little seismic actions, etc. They are talking about tsunamis, the worry of a tsunami. That I didn't even think about that area. I just, you know, you whenever you think of tsunami, you more or less think of like southern regions, honestly, I think. Also, public service loan forgiveness, 610,000 public sector workers got student loan forgiveness. Biden loosened the rules. So over half a million got what they called loan debt relief. Everybody else got to pay off their student loans. And they're all government workers, public sector workers. They said that another 6,000 borrowers are going to see their program, they're going to see their loans shifted over to everybody else soon as well. I'm not going to use magical words like discharged or things like that. They give the impression that the debt just, you know, dissipates into the ether. We're not doing that. This is actual money that everybody's going to be involved in paying. It's ridiculous. And it's still happening. They're trying to in run around all of the court decisions and everything else. And the FDA says people can eat gene-edited pigs, which also sounds like a metal band name. Up next, the AG of Missouri, Andrew Bailey. Stick with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the program, your hostess, your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash here. And of course, you can listen to the radio simulcast as we are first a nationally syndicated radio show. You can listen to the show in a market near you across the country. You can stream it. And of course, the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV as well. So we've been talking a little bit as soon as it came to light about Mayan Cain's hometown in the sweet city of St. Louis, because y'all know that we lived in the Benton Park area for quite a long time. Downtown St. Louis, and had to, yes, I was in Kim Gardner's district. Thankfully, I was there after I left, and then she came into power, because that could have been uncomfortable. But now she's leaving. Oh my gosh, the headlines about this. Now, everybody remembers Kim Gardner. She's one of these very corrupt, Soros-backed prosecutors. She has been in office. I mean, she officially resigned. I think it was, a couple of days ago, officially resigned. And she went in 2017. She came in the year after a few years after I moved to Texas. And she was very left, fought with St. Louis City Police. I think what the prosecution or conviction rate dropped on her watch. And then, of course, everybody remembers all the stuff with the McCluskey case. And then there's even more than that. I mean, there's all these accusations of corruption, et cetera. And then it came out that she was apparently looking for a career change. She was accused of prioritizing her nursing degree over prosecuting criminals. And she fought with the AG of Missouri, which you just don't do. And that AG joins us now, Andrew Bailey, the Attorney General of the great state of Missouri, the Show Me State. Sir, it's good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. So just because, and I, I, I tell people not to get too excited and too celebratory because there's always somebody as bad or worse in the wings. I mean, I love my hometown, but I'm honest about my hometown. So tell us a little bit about this case and just your reaction, you know, to her resignation announced a couple of days ago.
Well, this is a huge win for restoration of the rule of law and to find justice for victims in St. Louis and the region and the entire state of Missouri. And as you identified, this was a Soros-backed prosecutor whose stated objective was to dismantle the criminal justice system. Now, she'll masquerade as a prosecutor by using phrases like reimagining criminal justice or criminal justice reform. But really, that was just code words for nullifying the law, something she has no authority to do. And to the tune of 96% of crimes reported in the city of St. Louis, she wouldn't charge them. 96. If that's not an unlawful refusal to do your job, I don't know what is. And now we find out it wasn't just that she wasn't doing her job on taxpayer time. She was doing something else. She was furthering her nursing degree. So we fought to hold her accountable. In late February, after less than 60 days in office, I filed a we're onto a legal removal proceeding to get her out. And I'm proud to say that here in mid-May, we are looking at a deadline of June 1st for her to be out of office. And I'm confident the governor will appoint someone who shares our value for the rule of law and justice for victims and will take this office in the right direction and restore the credibility to our criminal justice system.
I love the point that you made. We're talking to the attorney general of my home state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, that the phrases that she would use, the reimagining criminal justice, which that's such a weird, vague phrase of nothingness. But as you said, it was about undermining the rule of law with her. I mean, her convictions plummeted. She, as you said, she wasn't even pursuing, you know, a significant number of cases. These were violent criminals, as I understand.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we know that there's an 8-month backlog of warrant referrals from the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department sitting on her desk in her office. We know that she's dismissed somewhere between 10 and 12,000 cases that she just walked away from. We also know that in the last 2 weeks, she missed a murder trial, just didn't show up, didn't send any attorneys, and she missed a first degree assault trial. These aren't counsel status hearings. These aren't standard docket calls. These are jury trials. The victims show up and are ready to see their day in court, and defendants, violent offenders need to be held accountable. And she doesn't even bother to show up or send anybody because she's busy at nursing school. So we're going to fight back to hold her accountable. And, you know, anytime you see coastal elites trying to buy these elected offices, you got to understand that their values don't always line up with the residents. I mean, the people here in Missouri and in the city of St. Louis pay the price for letting a coastal elite buy this office and nullify law. So we're going to stand up and back the blue. We're going to fight to restore the rule of law. We're going to start making sure that those police reports get the attention they deserve and victims get their day in court.
I mean, that's amazing. Just some of the cases that I was reading about. And of course, they're on a murder case as well. You want her to leave office earlier than June 1st. That's when she had said that she's going to said she would officially step down. And you had while you were charging her with the suit, you said you were demanding that she leave earlier, vacate the office on earlier than June 1st. Do you think is that going to happen? Are you going to get your wish? Because, I mean, the sooner the better, really.
Yeah, the sooner the better. I mean, my question is, how many more trials in the last 2 weeks she's missed two significant jury trials? How many more will she miss between now and June 1st?
I'm sorry not to interrupt, but how do you just miss a trial? How does she just miss a trial? I can't imagine not just showing up for work one day.
Well, and if you imagine if you're the family of the one that was murdered and you show up to court with a suit and tie on ready to see the defendant brought to justice and the state doesn't even show up. No one from the circuit attorney's office even bothers to show up or tell you. I mean, it's absolutely abominable that we got to this position. And so that's why this suit has to go on. We have to keep pushing this thing forward, get all the evidence in so we can uncover what went wrong here and put systems in place so that it never happens again. The status quo in St. Louis is not going to cut it. We've got to make structural reform to prevent this from ever happening in the future. And we're not going to let up until we achieve that objective.
I would just think that her behavior seems criminal. And now I know what I know and I know what I don't. And obviously what I think and what the law allows are two separate things. But I kind of wanted to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, look, we've subpoenaed records from the St. Louis University Nursing School where she was attending advanced nursing degree programs. And we want to know how often was she at class and what was her participation like? Was she paid for any practicums? I mean, what was her level of participation? We want to see the surveillance video from campus of how often she was there and how much time she was spending there. We know she was being paid to do a job to hold criminals accountable, and she wasn't doing that. And now it appears she was doing something else instead. I mean, how much taxpayer resources were squandered? How many taxpayer resources were squandered in her pursuit of a nursing degree. At some point, that does become theft. And so we've got to keep driving at this thing. We can't let up. We've got to figure out what happened. And I call on the Missouri Senate to pass the legislation in front of them that would bar her from future office. Again, that's a reasonable first step to prevent this from ever happening in the future. And we need to dive deeper and find out what other systems need to be in place to fix this moving forward.
What really, really shocks me about this as well, I was looking at some of the media reaction to her. I mean, you had the editorial board of, you know, the paper that I used to work for, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, that actually took a stand against her. A friend of mine, Bill McClellan, who describes himself as an old liberal, he took a position against her. I've never seen that in the city of St. Louis in all of my years of being aware of anything like this. I've never seen that before.
Well, that's how bad it's gotten, Dana. I mean, 500 businesses have left St. Louis in the past couple of years, at least in part because of crime. And those are jobs that don't exist anymore. Those are opportunities for this community that have been extinguished because of her unlawful refusal to do her job. I mean, the court itself has opined. One of the judges just last week in a show cause order, attempting to hold her in contempt of court for failing to show up for trial, said that her office is a rudderless ship of chaos. And that goes to my point. I stay until June 1st. What are you going to do? An orderly transfer of power for a rudderless ship of chaos? It's time to go.
That's a great point. That's a great point. We're talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. A last question for you, sir. Who would you, I mean, I know that there are a number of contenders for this and there's a lot of different opinions about it. I do worry that, you know, it's going to be someone I can't imagine worse than her. But then, you know, I'm continually surprised. Who would you like to see and who do you think is ultimately going to take this role?
Well, whoever has the fortitude and the acumen and the courage to stand up and uphold the rule of law and partner with law enforcement to find justice for victims. And look, the governor gets to make an appointment here. He's an old sheriff, right? I mean, he's worked with prosecutors throughout his career. He has experience in law enforcement. We've been working on this St. Louis crime issue for a few years now. So he knows what it takes. He's going to find the right person. And I've been really encouraged. There's a new day dawning here in St. Louis and across this region. There are law firms, attorneys, resources available at the state, regional, and city level that people volunteering to step up and help. Everybody wants whoever's appointed to be successful because they understand how bad things have gotten here and they want a new day of prosperity and freedom from fear of crime.
There you go. Andrew Bailey, the Attorney General of the Show Me State. So good to see you, sir. And thank you so, so much for fighting for citizens there, including all my family lives there. I know they're very appreciative as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan. All the best to you.
Of course. You too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour already, and we're barreling towards Florida Man. And you know, it's kind of a tough week already. It's only Tuesday. I say this often, but man, when Florida Man is like the sanest person in the room, dude, that's an issue. Man, I tell you what.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
I honored a group of trailblazing artists with National Medals of Arts and Humanities.
Trailblazing.
The group included groundbreaking Asian Americans like Vera Wang and Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce it right, Shanga Kawawa.
Shigekawa. Just say
it. I think I pronounced it correctly. She can call me Joe Bitten.
He ruined her name twice in less than 2 months. Shigekawa. Joan Shigekawa. How do you mess that up? I mean, I'm surprised he got Vera Wang's right. I mean, what did he say? I was reading the readout of it. It was Shingan. Forgive me. Shanga Kawana. Shanga. That's the read. That's what he was saying. Shingan. Forgive me. Shanga Kawana. I think I pronounced it correctly. Oh my gosh. And didn't he call who was it? Rishi Sunak, who is the Prime Minister of UK. He called him, wait, I got those saved. Rishi Sunak.
Oh, there you go.
Totally not even his name. He just named a whole other different dude. Whole other different dude. So, yeah, that's yeah. He's on the struggle bus with some of this stuff. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Now, they're having the White House press. They had the White House press briefing just a little bit ago. And we'll have some highlights. We also have some highlights yesterday when they were talking about it talking about the border wall, etc. Actually, can I play this one now? Because I have like a number of cuts. This was from KJP yesterday. Guys, they can't build a wall at the border for a very obvious reason. And KJP expertly explains it here. Listen.
And instead of providing the needed resources for more border security technology and asylum officers and judges, it would waste taxpayer dollars on an ineffective wall. Again, an ineffective wall that can't even withstand heavy winds, let alone sophisticated criminal smuggling networks.
The wind is going to knock it over, Kane. The wind. The wind, she says. The wind.
That old Great Wall of China technology, do we have that? Do we have any of that stuff?
Shh, no, we can't talk about that. It doesn't exist.
No?
Shh, no. Okay. It doesn't. It's different. It's south of the border. We don't. We if it's not here, it doesn't exist. That's how we view it.
Plus, doesn't she know the wall has slots in it where the wind just kind of passes through the wall?
Shh, no, she doesn't actually. I mean, It does. It's very neat design.
It is, actually.
You can't fit through it. I'm surprised. I'm not going to say it because somebody's going to do it. I was going to say I'm surprised nobody's tried to like slip through it, you know? Because they'll get stuck. It's super thin, but somebody will try now. Human grader down there at the, I'm just saying. Yeah, it's because the wind's going to blow it over. Oh my gosh.
Like the Empire State Building and stuff.
Those are different. Huh? Somehow.
Wind doesn't blow down the buildings?
No, I know. It'll blow down the wall, Kane, the wind.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. I can't believe that this is said at a White House press conference. Florida man, please save us. I can't.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh my gosh. So we have a running joke in our family. We hate the Island Boys. We hate them. Don't Google it. It's horrible. You'll never get it out of your head. Oh my gosh. It's the funniest, goofiest, most, it's, oh man. So they're from Coral Springs. They're a Florida-based sibling rap duo called Island Boys. And they recorded themselves singing Island Boys. And that they say the same thing over and over again. That's literally all they do. And somebody was like, I'm going to make money off of them for a hot second. Anyway, guess what, Kane? What? One of the Island Boys is now come full circle. I don't even understand this dude's name. Cody. I just call them both Island Boys. Cody Akred.
Okay.
I don't know. Dude, it's a phonetical spelling. That's all I'm going to tell you. He was arrested after he pushed his girlfriend into the pool during an argument. He has the worst face tats I have ever seen in my life. So he got arrested. He had an altercation with his girlfriend. He's 21 years old. His name is Frank Venegas. And he goes by Cody Yakred. Phonetical spelling. Right? That's like spelling AYMBUR, Amber. same difference. The girlfriend told police that he had slapped her and pushed her into a pool on May 6th during an argument at their Airbnb. And she said he was physically abusive in the past. I just can't believe that the guy has enough muscle strength to push a girl into the pool because I've seen him. You can literally floss with his arms. I'm like, you're 21. I mean, are you sure that you've gone through puberty? I don't even know. And the face tats are so bad. It's like Fisher Price, my first tattoo, right? Ugh. Anyway, so I've laughed so hard over that one. Also, a Florida substitute teacher let a seventh grade hit her vape. She just wanted to fit in. Wait, who wanted to fit in? The student or the teacher? Apparently it was the teacher. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with society? Lake County substitute teacher got charged with child abuse. She was letting a student use her vape. 50-year-old Jennifer Hale. This is crazy. Police said a seventh grader reported hearing another student say he wanted a vape, and Hale allegedly said, I had one, and allowed the student to have a puff. Her response was, according to WESH, via the police chief, was that, quote, she just wanted to fit in. I don't get it. What is there to fit in? You're there to teach a class, not fit in, end quote. So she's got a third degree felony against her now. She was released on a $1,000 bond, and she's no longer employed with the district. You're 50 years old. You got peer pressured by a elementary school kid? Oh my gosh, weakness. What? That's nuts. Man. All right. I have more. I have a lot more, but I'm afraid, like the guy who went on a rampage at a retail store, or the Florida man who was trying to steal another man's girlfriend and crash into the cops. Like, literally, apparently. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
Did you get inspiration from people like Lincoln and Churchill, who struggled with depression their whole lives and yet fought through it and changed the world?
I would say there's almost kind of like a nobility to it. Like, well, our suffering, you know, there's some nobility to that, or, you know, and so maybe something, it toughens you up or whatever, but but it didn't tougher me up. You know, in fact, it nearly ruined me. And I know it put my family through a lot of pain.
Those guys could, though. I mean, Lincoln and Churchill could talk, though, still. Just, yeah. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. I don't find it pitiable or worthy of consideration. The idea that you will use something as serious as depression as a way to deflect criticism for your your inability and to do your job, or the goofy things you say. That's kind of what's happening here. There's nothing noble about that, to dodge criticism by saying, well, it's because of this. You know, I mean, I'll tell you something, Lincoln and Churchill, from everything I've ever read about Churchill, didn't deflect criticism by trying to say, well, I was sad, or I was dealing with depression, or I was this, or I was that. They accepted accountability for bad decisions when bad decisions happened, when they were made. So there's nothing really here that I don't find that noble. I mean, he's sitting here talking about nobility, but the problem is that he's using this as a way to dodge any kind of criticism. I mean, you're using mental health as a way to dodge the legit concerns that people are making about his inability to do his job. There's nothing noble about that. But Joe Scarborough is a complete and utter clown. Are they going to have a meltdown on air because I mentioned that? I said that. Oh my! I said that one time, and I don't know what happened, but one morning, because I don't watch MSNBC, my friends were texting me saying that Mika was having an absolute meltdown on TV and going off on me because I think I had tweeted like one thing to them, and they went on this like 15-minute tirade. You stop talking about us and our family. I'm like, I didn't even know you have a family. I don't even know anything about you. I tweeted one thing, you utter psychos. And they lost their mind. They wanted to convey this falsehood that one tweet like 2 days ago about them was me talking about them and their family and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I know nothing about you other than that you guys are clowns and you're on MSNBC. I was talking about your work, you sheer fraud. I was talking about your work. Oh my gosh. Are they going to have a meltdown over that? I'm just curious. I got questions. But that's and nice of John Fetterman to dress up for the interview, too, by the way. You know, giving Joe Scarborough the respect that he deserves. He shows up in shorts and a hoodie. What did you say on break? And I was like, I'm so sad no one's selling these.
I was like, yeah, we're all inspired by Lincoln's hoodie.
Lincoln's hoodie. Mm. I mean, because he's wearing a hoodie.
Could be a print shop on that right away. Lincoln's hoodie is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. He's in shorts and a hoodie. Is that him trying to cosplay as the everyman still? This is my thing. I just, you know, I'm so cool and hip to the everyday guy that I wear my hoodies and shorts. Isn't that how? Because, you know, the everyman has also a suit. They have nice church clothes. They got, you know, they got regular actual shoes that are closed-toed and not tennis shoes. You know, everyman have those things. You're cosplaying. You know how dudes dress in woman face and that's offensive? He's in everyman face and that's offensive. It's the same thing. He thinks that this is the everyman.
Oh, you know, for the guys that are too poor to have their sister buy their penthouse for them like mine did. My shorts and my hoodie.
I guess he thinks that makes him relatable. I don't know. It just makes him look like he looks like a clown. And that's kind of offensive if he thinks that other average, everyday working people, blue-collar people, don't have nice clothes and they only have shorts and hoodies. Just, you know, you dress for the job that you want. You can't be shocked that people think you're a clown when you show up to an interview, or you show up literally to work in a hoodie and shorts. Or maybe he doesn't have money for clothes because his wife spends it all on herself. I don't know. It could be also a possibility. Just say, I'm going to go with that one until he dresses properly. Look, we have you when you work in the Capitol and you work representing the people, there are certain expectations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not asking you to show up in designer duds, but I'm asking you not to show up in a pair of Umbros and a hoodie is all I'm saying. Right? I mean, it's super simple. These are simple things, folks. All right. So we got immigration. The Title 42, it's expiring Thursday. And there's a national E-Verify bill that's making its way. Thomas Massie is warning everybody about this. He says it contains vague references to two pilot programs of non-photographic technology, and you must use it to prove that you have to use to prove your identity to DHS in order to get a job. He goes, but what is it? Is it fingerprints? Is it DNA? Is it retina? Why not just say it in the bill? And then he asks, is E-Verify actually Patriot Act 2.0? So he lists, this is Section 811, Use of Employment Eligibility. This is from the bill. And it's an employer who uses the photo matching tool, part of the E-Verify, you match the photo tool, etc. And then it gets into identity authentication, employment eligibility verification pilot programs. And it gets into, after consultation with the Commissioner of Social Security and the Director of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, shall establish by regulation not less than two identity authentication, employment eligibility, verification pilot programs, each using a separate and distinct technology. So there's a lot of concerns with, I mean, there's a reason why we were not supposed to have a national ID. You know, I mean, we're not supposed to have a national ID. And this is the omnibus border security bill. It's like eight. He says that he clarifies it's eight bills in one, and E-Verify is the last title in the bill. Now, this could change. The House votes on it next week. So he said that they're hoping to remove the E-Verify. They want E-Verify, but what this is it's E-Verify, but then they want this. I mean, when you give government the ability for this, do you trust them? Honestly, do you really seriously trust it? Because I sure as hell don't. I mean, this, I don't like that. The language, the fact that they are so vague about this, that it's very, very vague. And I think that there's a difference because people were like, oh, so-and-so's pro E-Verify. Some states have E-Verify where they don't have vagary in this. This is, you know, a congressional bill. This is a federal bill that is talking about going way beyond authentication using, you know, whatever, biometrics or whatever, than what is in any other state bill. There's nothing wrong with E-Verify. For the people who are too partisan to function, this is the way that authentication is done, which is a separate issue from E-Verify. And why they don't have, why they can't articulate it in the bill. I mean, I think it's weird. I mean, I understand trying to verify if people are here legally, but this is, I mean, that's, what could this be used for with the government? Do you want the federal government controlling employer enforcement on this? That's kind of what it comes down to, right? Because that kind of makes me uncomfortable. I don't want the government controlling that. Do you? I don't like the federalization of some of this stuff. There's a reason why, you know, states should be control. And I ultimately think that this is a state's issue also. I'm fine with coming up for a way for states to figure out how to verify how people are here legally and making it, you know, for businesses, giving businesses a tool so that they can hire people who are here legally. But at the same time, I'm not willing with that to give them this like gateway to be able to
track employment and have this federal apparatus for enforcement. And that's kind of what it comes down to. So I don't know. I mean, that's how I see it. I mean, that's how I see this working. It makes me, why don't they put that in there? Is it because they don't have it yet, or is it because they're trying to be cute about it? I mean, they vote on it next week. Now, Massey says the language could change, but we should get him on about this. Let's talk to him, because this is weird. And I don't like giving the federal government anything. Nothing. So a couple of other things. I got some wokery. Oh, we're giving more money because people have told me, but I know a lot of you sent me this. Kane has it too. A lot of people sent this. We're apparently giving more money, yay, to Ukraine. Did you guys know? Biden administration has announced additional security assistance for Ukraine. Today, the Department of Defense announced a new security assistance package to reaffirm the steadfast U.S. support for Ukraine, including to bolster its air defenses, sustain its artillery ammunition needs. So we're just going to give all this stuff over to them. And for what? What is the goal? I mean, we went from big pharma to back to the military industrial complex. Went from one to the other. This package is $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion. But we can't do anything about enforcing our own southern border. Our financial system is unhealthy. We've got banks that are shaky. And we're sending another billion, over a billion, over to Ukraine. We have difficulty. There was actually the discussion as to whether or not, even if there was a conflict that popped off, heaven forbid, would we have enough ammunition? Would we have enough resources? Because we've been sending everything over to Ukraine. Other nations, other countries aren't so eager to send as much as we do. You know, you have the EU that complains ad nauseum about the United States, but oh my gosh, come and clean up our backyard for us. I feel like Rorschach from The Watchmen. And then the world will cry out, save us, and I'll simply answer no.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the FDA has cleared a new toilet seat for you. The Kasana Heart... This could be its own segment. I think it may be. The Kasana Heart Seat Toilet. Kasana Heart Seat, trademark. Toilet seat for use in a home environment. Kane, tell the people what it does.
It takes your heartbeat from your ass.
Okay. Yeah, it does. It's good for people who are at least 22 years of age, weighing 90 to 350 pounds. And it's also going to measure your oxygen saturation. It's using sensors embedded in the toilet seat. The device is able to measure these vital signs and send the data automatically to the Kasana cloud. Can't wait for the hacking. From there, a designated healthcare provider is able to view the toilet-generated data from the three sensors: a ballistocardiogram, which measures the mechanical activity of the heart, an electrocardiogram, which measures the electrical activity of the heart, and a photoplethysmogram, which detects the blood volume changes. They said that it's able to consistently measure blood pressure, stroke volume, blood oxygenation, you know, and your toilet seat. Go out and get one today. So I know you're so excited. Gosh, it's a good thing the FDA got involved in that, as Kane said. Tell you what. Psychologists issue new guidelines for kids on social media use. Okay, parents, you really don't need an association to tell you what to do. Just realize that certain places on the web are like certain places in real life. Some places on the web are like strip clubs. Some places on the web are like drug dens. Some places on the web are just like movie theaters. So choose accordingly where you would like your child to go. And yes, you absolutely can track your child. They make it easy nowadays. You can, I locked up all my kids' games on an encrypted folder on their laptop and all kinds of stuff that they were supposed to use only for school and everything. And I had to give them the password that I changed every single day just from my own phone in order for them to be able to access it at a certain time. After, you can do this, parents, and you don't have to be like, oh, you know, a white hat hacker to do it. It's so easy. It's so easy to do. You know, and you can put social media apps in this too. Pokemon, if you want to feel old today, apparently there's a rare Pokemon card that showed up on Antiques Roadshow. What? Apparently it was a a set of cards for this woman's kid back in 1999. The entire binder. Oh, you know what? I have a whole binder of Pokemon cards
antiques,
that my kids had.
Antiques.
What? What? I need to go through this. Stay with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
If you buy a car, you are expected to pay the monthly payments. If you buy a home, you are expected to pay the mortgage every month. That is the expectation. That is the spending that you put forth or spending that you may have done before, and now you're paying it every month. If you do not pay your car payment, if you do not pay your mortgage payment, then your credit is going to be bad. It's going to hurt your credit. So let's look at Congress for a second. This is spending that they've already done. They've already spent. Let's not forget the $2 trillion Trump tax cuts that they were willing and happy to vote for.
Yeah, it's not a cost. But by the way, do student loans now.
Yeah, exactly.
Try student loans. Yeah, try the same thing. Same thing applies. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Here at the bottom of this third hour, we're just, what, a day away or so from Title 42 expiration? Yeah, do student loans, KJP. She was saying that, you know, if you make a purchase, then, you know, if you buy a car, you're expected to pay the monthly payment. Okay, well, then try student loans. If you take out a student loan, then you're expected to make that payment. People who didn't take out the loans cannot be expected to make that payment, no more than they can be expected to make the car payment for someone else. So there should be no differentiation there. Ah, except it's different. Mm-mm-mm. So a few things that I want to make sure that we're hitting. We've had Law and Order. Oh, I'm looking for all my wokery stuff because I left some of it behind. Okay, so we got a couple of things with wokery here to get to. One of those includes Air Force, then we got reparations too. And then we also have anthropology. A lot of people are like, I don't like anthropology. Anthropology is like one of those stores that you go in and you look at stuff, but you don't ever buy anything unless you want to look like your grandma's couch. Can we just pause for a second and ask what in the ever-loving H-E double hockey sticks is going on with women's fashion right now? There's one thing to do Little House on the Prairie. That's different from Little Goth on the Prairie, which is a definite style, and I endorse that latter one. But why does everybody have to... Everything looks like 80s Laura Ashley. Have you noticed this? What is happening? 80s Laura Ashley. I have very weird preferences in terms of clothing and that. I wear black every day because it's easy, and I cannot stand to sit here. I don't want to sit here and pick out clothes, and I want clothes out. I just want to put something on and do my work. I'm very Steve Jobs about it. If I could wear just like the same thing but not like John Fetterman every day, I would. So the other day, I was at an event, and I saw a woman who was like in her mid-50s. She's a pretty woman. But it was like a baby doll dress, and it went to her knee, so it wasn't like it was super short or anything, but it was just, it looked like a dress that a toddler would wear. You know what I mean? The floral print, like soft pink with like some orange and you know, some green in there, like floral print, and it had like the poofy, and I'm just looking at this like, why are you dressed like a toddler at an Easter party? I've noticed this like, this has nothing to do with politics. It's just me hating on it for a second. I don't know what that is. It's not a, I don't know what that is. I don't get it. I hate that 80s Laura Ashley take. And I only know what that is because a friend of my mom's had that everywhere, all up through the 90s. That friend also, their mom, when the sister moved out and went to college, they turned her room into the storage for her porcelain dolls. And they had them all up everywhere. And that was the demon room that we called it. It was a terrifying room. We didn't go in there because there were a million eyes from porcelain. It was a weird house. I don't know. Long story short, I don't get it. Anyway, that's what Anthropology sells. They sell that kind of stuff. So Anthropology put this thing. They're joining all these other brands. They had this video of a dude who is wearing wedge ankle boots. And then he puts a dress on and he's in heels. And he's like kicking in heels and dancing around and doing all this other stuff. And I don't get it. Like how I just don't, nobody wants an upskirt shot for a dude. I'm going to add that as well. And if you're wearing a dress, I don't want to see your bulge. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Kane, did you see the video?
No.
You're like, no, I didn't. I don't think it went well for them because they got they disabled the comments on the dude that they had modeling the dress. They disabled the comments. So here's my question. Why didn't they just have a chick make the video? Why didn't they just have a woman in a dress? Why did they have to have a dude in a dress on their Instagram page? Why did they have to do that? Why couldn't they just have a chick in the dress showing it off on their Instagram page? I don't understand that. It's misogynistic. Yeah, it would get more attention. If you had like a dancer or a woman who could dance in the dress instead of a dude, like if you're a woman and you're looking at this stuff, first off, women are not shaped like the dude. Women don't have to worry about bulges there anyway. They don't have to worry about that. They want to see how it would look on them. They don't want to see some dude in a dress. I just, it's anthropology for crying out loud. Make your overpriced soaps and your knickknacks that no one actually, I think, ever buys and just sits in your store forever. Just make your weird crap and just let people look at your store and quit trying to get involved in the politics of everything. I don't know why these predominantly female patronized companies, everybody from, you know, the tampon companies, why they are getting involved in the absolute misogyny of woman face. Why they are enabling the cruel, abusive misogyny of woman face. That's what this is. I am not interested in seeing a man show his ass in a dress on Anthropologie's Instagram page. Nor are you. It's like if you're all looking for dudes close, Kane, you want to see, well, you guys are different. But you know what I mean? Like you want to see also how that applies to you. Why are these companies all doing this? Like what? Were they, oh, we also want to tank our sales. Yeah, here, hold my Bud Light. And they disabled the comments on it. The video's still up there. And by the way, that dress didn't even fit him. Mm-mm. It didn't even fit him. So, because after Anthropologie shut down the comments on that post, everybody, all these women started going to all their other posts and commenting on it. So they had to start shutting down their comments, like right and left. They deserve it. They deserve that. I'm so done with this stuff. I am so done with it. It's like, you know, when you see people, like in our town, we had a Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret is where you want to go to find made in China mass-produced panties and, you know, bras that are so padded they're not made for women that, you know, that don't need the padding. And they had people who were struggling with serious morbid obesity in the lingerie, in the shop windows. Do you remember that whole thing? I don't stop doing this. I don't understand what the whole, just sell your stuff. You had no problems with it before then. Now, a lot of people thought, you know, Victoria's Secrets and that was like over-sexualized, and that's fine, but you don't push back on it by putting heavy chicks like that to the point where it's actually a health comorbidity for them and use them as advertising. Like that doesn't make sense either. I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me at all whatsoever. I find it frustrating. I'm glad that there are people on the right that are pushing back against a lot of the culture stuff and that they understand the importance of pushing back on this. I think some of them get them wrong. Like I had a couple of friends, a friend of mine who was going off like on hockey and was saying that, oh, well, men shouldn't be on any kind of skates at all whatsoever. It's not manly. And I'm like, dude, what a way to show, to like advertise that you're a pansy by acting like you don't know what hockey is. Have you seen hockey? I mean, that's like one of the most brutal sports out there. Guys shouldn't be on skates, said a dude who's never watched hockey ever. Stop. Some people on our side, they really try, but they're so totally tone deaf. Or constantly slamming video gaming or anime, both of which I like. There's nothing wrong with either of them. In fact, anime, it's has great concepts. Kane was just telling me about one series that I think he's desperately trying to get me to watch, and it has the longest name ever. He's like, a new episode of the series that you're not that you don't watch dropped. But we like it because it's not woke. You can't watch hardly anything today, and it's woke, or it's something is so over. I'm sorry, but I don't care if you're an Alphabet person. That's great. Alphabet people have their own network. I don't care what somebody does in their private life, but I think it's overrepresented in a lot of programming, in film and television. You'll be watching a series, and then it's almost like it's not even done thoughtfully or with any kind of consideration. It's just, by the way, here are the two. Here's, we check the boxes. Here are the two gay characters. Here's something that has nothing to do with the overall arching plot, but we got to check this box. You know what I mean? So the Air Force, wait, let me go back to this one. Oh, I have more. Mm-hmm. The Air Force, apparently, they had a training experiment. They wanted to graduate more minority pilots. So they ran a social experiment, Daily Caller reports, but it didn't really go how they planned. They had this experiment. They were wanting to boost pilot training graduation rates for specifically women and minority pilots. I think that you would want to make sure that you're boosting your pilot training graduation rates for people who could fly well. They wanted women and minority pilots after this 2021 initiative failed. It didn't achieve the intended results that they were all told that it could, right? And they were told initially, well, you better implement this stuff or you could violate these anti-discrimination policies, all this. Daily Caller had obtained a bunch of these documents, and they found that it was this larger military-wide effort, and they were promoting specifically women and minorities and diversity in the services pilot ranks. The 19th Air Force Command near San Antonio, Texas, clustered racial minorities and female trainees into one class. They called it America's Class, Daily Caller reports, to find out if doing so would improve their graduation rates. However, not only did the effort fail to boost minority and female candidate success rates, but apparently officers say they were ordered to engage in potentially unlawful discrimination because they had to exclude the white chicks from the class. Documents show that white women were excluded. White males were excluded from the class. So white dudes who were in the Air Force down there were excluded from that class, according to the Air Force's document. Now, it raises some red flags because, I mean, that is, you are, regardless of what the intention is, you are still participating in discriminatory practices to achieve an intended outcome. I don't understand how you obtain more diversity by engaging in the opposite of it. That's like screwing for chastity. You're not going to get more diversity by literally engaging in segregation or practicing it or implementing it. An Air Force instructor pilot spoke out on the condition of anonymity and said that, you know, the foundations of performance-based competition are sacrificed and the emphasis on safety takes a back seat. They have a significant backlog of pilot candidates that are waiting to begin classes. And the 19th Air Force, they conduct the pilot training for the entire service at Laughlin Air Force Base in Texas. They wanted a chance to build a class from scratch, and this just did not. It was known as America's Class. They had the class patch too. Get this, it was embroidered with the motto "Handpicked for Excellence." Gee, I wonder why recruitment suffers. They had the class comprised of 62% underrepresented groups, according to the demo breakdown. But they wanted anybody non-white. I mean, that was the actual order. I mean, and there's actual PDFs of the letters and the documents and the orders and everything else. So it didn't actually do what they were trying to do. In fact, it blew up in their face. I've said this, I don't know how many years, treating the military like a social experiment is going to get people killed. It is dangerous. And we don't have time for it in this environment with everything going on right now.
It's the Dana Show, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Another thing that's important to note with this investigation, Maria, and I think we'll make it even more interesting on Wednesday, is more and more evidence is pointing towards Joe Biden. I mean, obviously, Joe Biden was involved in all these things, despite the fact that he's lied to the American people, despite the fact that his press secretary continues to lie about it. We've already produced one wire from one LLC totaling over $1 million to four different Biden family members. And now we're going to produce an additional five Biden family members, more countries, more LLCs, more bank accounts. I mean, this thing is much bigger than anyone would have ever predicted. And it all points towards Joe Biden, the big guy.
Man, that's James Comer, who's talking about all of the evidence in this case with regards to Hunter Biden, and also whether or not you have, you know, how many at this point, right? Like, how many at this point? Because during the time, and other, there have been sleuths out there who read the Hunter Biden book. Yours truly has not, because, no, I'm sorry. But they were saying that, you know, during the times in the book where he was talking about going on a bender, some of those times where the photos came from is the exact like month that he went and bought the gun and then lied and said he wasn't on drugs. And he was literally in his book talking about how he was an addict while he was describing the month, that one particular month that he purchased the gun. There was a woman put in jail for a year in Iowa for that. Any of us would be in so much trouble. So that's just one of them. Then it gets into all the China dealings that Comer was talking about. Now, this may hit. It's supposed to hit tomorrow. There's going to be a presser tomorrow. And we're going to bring you all of that when it happens. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. Karine Jean-Pierre out there today again spinning on behalf of the president. Here she is saying that the challenges at the border is something the president's taken seriously from day one. Really?
There are challenges at the border. This is something that the president has taken seriously from day one, putting
except if he did have it taken seriously since day one, we wouldn't have 6 million across over it two.
Yeah, you
two
wouldn't
and
have
half
you
years.
Wouldn't have Lori Lightfoot saying that they can't handle anymore, or Eric Adams saying they couldn't handle any more migrants being sent their way, illegal entrants, none of that. Folks, that does it for us today. Sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe.